Intervju Radija Študent.
Drage poslušalke, dragi poslušalci, dame in gospodje, skejterska in vesela mladež, pozdravljeni v oddaji Ereš Intervju. Danes imamo v studiju posebnega gosta, z nami je namreč Nikola Sarčević, frontman skupine Milan Collin. Milan Collin bodo jutri nastopili na festivalu Šklapfest v Trbovljah, po kakšnih 10 letih bodo spet pri nas. Zdaj pa za začetek poslušamo pesem Happiness for Dogs, nato pa bomo počasi priskajteli v prvi del intervjuja.
Hi Nicola, welcome in our studio. Welcome to our dear radio student. How's it going?
Thank you. I'm doing fine here in Ljubljana.
Okay. It's been nearly 10 years for Milan Collin since the last time you were here. I can say that you guys are full-time employees in your band. You play a lot of shows, you tour a lot. You've been to Canada, you've been to USA, you've been to South America and down under in Australia. So I was wondering, how come that you never managed to come here to Slovenia in these 10 years?
I don't know. No, nobody really asked us.
Yeah, nobody asked us. No. Nobody asked you to come here.
You have to ask us.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, that's if you have you need a promoter and who's asking the band and making the band, you know, to come to your country. I mean, it's not like we're saying ourselves that, okay, next month I want to go to Slovenia, I want to go to there and there. It's we get offers, you know.
Yeah, so
and you have to invite us.
Yeah, so organizers should call you more often to play here in Slovenia.
And I would love to play here more, but you have to invite us.
Okay. you guys built your name and a strong fan base in the second half of 90s. At that time you were skating on a melodic punk wave with other Swedish bands such as No Fun At All, Satanic Surfers, 59 Times The Pain and Randy, if we point out some. Some of those bands ended playing, some still do, but they don't do it on such successful and massive scale as Millencolin does. Can you please tell us what was or what is Millencolin's recipe for survival on the music scene? If I can use the word survival in this context, I think it's quite appropriate word.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess being in a band for such a long time as we've been together, we've been playing together for 17 years and almost, and you know, you have your ups and downs, and it's not easy to stay together as a band for such a long time, but the recipe for us, I guess, we've always, I think we have one reason is that we, of course, we're always been good friends, and we were friends before we started the band, and I think that's a good reason. But we also, I think we have made our sound has made progression and has changed all the time. So the music has always been interesting to us. We've always changed our sound a little bit, and so it's been inspiring all the way to write the music, and the music is the base of the whole, you know, foundation thing of the whole band. So, and it has to be interesting all the time, and as long as it's fun, you know, to write music.
Okay.
You know, I'm gonna
as you said, in those 17 years, sound of your band evolved from melodic fast punk band. You came to a mid-tempo punk rock band that has a lot of rock influences in its music. Where and when did that change come from? Was it because you started to play in bigger venues, and for bigger venues you need to slow down a bit, you know, so that audience can hear you and can dance to your songs?
No, I don't think so. I never thought about it that way. I mean, it's been 17 years, as I said, so you know, you have to change your, you can't do the same thing over and over. I mean, you can't eat the same food for every day. I mean, you have to change the way you're living and the way you're doing what you're doing. And for us, you know, it's been a natural progression, I think, a natural change, and over such a long time. And otherwise, it would be, you know, become boring if it would be the same thing, you know, over and over. So
cool.
Yeah.
Okay, your musical journey was supported by a Swedish label called Burning Hearts Records from the very beginning. You still cooperate with Burning Hearts, I was wondering, you could easily sign the deal with every major record company, but you didn't. Not that I'm saying that you should, I'm just wondering, why did you decide not to do so? You know, not to go to any other record labels?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you had a lot of... You still have a lot of offers from major labels.
Well, the thing is, we don't really have any offers from major labels.
Yeah.
I mean, when we signed to Burning Heart and Epitaph, well, they later bought more than half of Burning Heart.
Burning Heart.
It was basically Epitaph, I mean, last 10 years probably, that we've been... I mean, we've been on Epitaph, but on Burning Heart. And we never really got any big offers from major labels. And the only time we, a few years ago, the first contract that we signed with Burning Heart ended a few years back. And when we were supposed to sign a new contract, there were a few other labels involved, but not the really big ones, actually. But at the end of the day, Burning Heart, Epitaph had the best deal for us. But these days, you know, times are a lot different than how they were back in the 90s. I mean, nowadays, most labels, there's...
Don't sign bands anymore.
Well, no, and because they don't have the same abilities to promote a new band, and they don't have the same muscles and you know, power and money, you know, to put behind a band, to invest in a band. So everything's completely different, and these days you mentioned Burning Heart, but Burning Heart doesn't really exist anymore.
Yeah,
it's only on paper, I guess. Not even that. I mean, it's since Epitaph owns Burning Heart, they closed down Burning Heart.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So there's no one working for Burning Heart anymore, which is very sad, because only like 3-4 years ago they had 10-12 people working there. So, and that only shows that you know, the whole business, music business, and the whole record selling industry has, I mean, it's a mess, and nobody really buys the albums anymore, and it's not that I'm, you know, here to complain, but it's a fact.
Yeah.
When you know, and this is a fact that it mostly affecting, you know, record labels, and 'cause bands can still survive, at least if you're an established band, and you have your fan base, you can still survive on, you know, touring and so on. But I think it's very hard for new bands and bands that are maybe not that established to make it today, because, I mean, it's easier. It's a lot harder today to...
Okay.
...in the business.
Yeah. Let's move on with, like, we have three questions left. We won't listen to music anymore because we're running out of time. Let's talk about your last record. Your last record, Machine 15, that got out last year, marks the 15th anniversary of the band. That's why you have a number 15 in a record title, right?
Yeah.
But what did you want to say with the word machine, if we're talking about that?
I mean, we're... It's, I guess, it's supposed to symbolize the way that we've stayed together and over the years, and we've just been, you know, doing our thing like a machine, like a well-oiled machine we've been...
Yeah, but on the cover of the record, it's a dinosaur, right? Dinosaur machine, right?
I believe,
I mean, dinosaur that is looks like it's made out of steel. So, would you say that nowadays Milan Collin is like a dinosaur among new bands, among people that you know, people that nowadays listen to different music that, I mean, not like music.
We're like dinosaurs,
yeah.
Punk rock dinosaurs. Yeah, maybe. No, I mean, you have to ask the Eric in the band who actually did the cover. But I don't think he had that symbolic thing. I think he just wanted something cool.
Oh, okay, cool.
Something like a monster or something.
And how did songwriting process change in these 17 years? I mean, like, I know that you write 80% of the lyrics, right?
I write more than that.
More than that.
But I maybe write I write a lot, but most of the lyrics and a lot of the music too, most of the music too, but the music, it's me and Matthias who write together. And but it's been pretty much the same way. I mean, I sit down with an acoustic guitar back home, and that's how I come up with the ideas. But the big difference from when we started out is that back then we tried all the ideas that me and Matthias and Eric also had ideas back then. We tried it together in the rehearsing room, the four of us being in the same room, and we showed our new ideas to each other. But the last couple of albums we've been making demos, you know, just me and Matthias been working on demos. Because today you have the, you know, you can send files over internet. So and we don't even. I live in another town in Sweden, so it's very easy to change and send the files over. And so we make demos that way, sending files to each other, and then later on, we show the final demos. The finished demos, actually, to the other guys in the band.
Oh, so this is the songwriting process nowadays in
your
band.
Yeah, I don't know if it's for the better, but since I'm too lazy to travel up to the town where the other guys live.
Okay, thank you. Well, I guess this is it. Thank you for your time. Thank you for this interview. And I hope that tomorrow's show will be great, and that Milan Collin will come much often here to Slovenia.
I would love to come more often.
Okay, cool. Torej, drage poslušalke, dragi poslušalci, to, kar ste ravno kar poslušali, je bil intervju z Nikolo Sarčevićem iz švedske punk rock zasedbe Milan Collin. Slednji bodo jutri nastopili na trboveljskem festivalu Sklapfest. Poleg njih bodo pa nastopili še Exploited, Toy Dolls, Kut Idioti, Overflow in podobni. Torej, se vidimo. Adio.
Adio.
Intervju Radija Študent.